Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Ashley, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I am thrilled to be here.
This is going to be such a great conversation. But before we get started, I have to know, how did you find Organize 365?
Well, in 2015, it was actually March of 2015, my husband and I and our toddler were moving into our current home. And I was in the process of unpacking everything. And I've always loved organizing. I've loved learning about it. And so I searched for an organizing podcast, found you. And that was like the background, I guess, to my entire unboxing my house, getting things put away, organizing my closets, kind of trying to micro-organize what I had under my kitchen cabinets and everything. So that was that. And then I was like, I'm not going to let go of listening. I'm going to just binge everything I can, you know, go back into the archives, get caught up, because I was taking it from making a house to a home. In 1 month, we were hosting my son's second birthday party for, 50 of our closest friends and family. And I was going to be announcing that I was pregnant very soon.
Oh my gosh.
Super, super teen.
I mean, the podcast was only a year old at that point. Like, if that.
Yeah, I know. I looked back because I was like, how many did I binge, you know, to try to catch up? So, but yeah, I felt like I was then in on the ground level. So I think it was about 2016 when you started doing the 100-day program. Yep. And so I was like, I get to do this 100-day organization, but kind of follow along. And I definitely was trying to like bootstrap it. So I know we'll get into that, but it was like, maybe I can make my own version of what she's doing. And I learned that it was just so much better for me to have the products and have the support.
Okay. So who's in your family with you? I'm assuming a husband and a couple of kids at least.
Yeah. So my husband, Ryan, of 14 years now. And that boy I referenced is 9, Sebastian. And then the next child that came along was Milan, my middle. He is going to be turning 7 in a couple of weeks. So I've got another big birthday party to plan. And then my daughter is turning 5 in a month. Yeah. Oh, wow. And then we have 2 fish tanks. I'm sitting next to one of them. And we made sure we had a cold water tank for an axolotl. So they apparently need a lot of stuff too.
Okay, so you've kind of grown with the Organize 365 as your family has grown.
Yes, that's why I feel super surreal to be talking to you. Later, I'll have to pinch myself a bunch. Yeah, it does feel like I've been kind of like in the ecosystem all along. And now I'm just so thrilled to be able to share more about what I've been learning.
Oh, great. So you were getting ready, you were moving, you were getting ready for a birthday party. Then the birthday party came and went. Obviously, you had your second child. So why did you stay with Organize 365 all these years? Like, what was the next level of your organizing?
Good question. So one of the big aspects for me, I guess one of my core values is learning. And so learning and growth is just something that's what I do in my free time is consume. Well, I wanted it to be productive consumption. I was working full time. And so in my free time, I wanted to know how I could stay on top of things in my home. I also had started blogging. So I was really excited to be able to showcase things that I was learning. And I've never gone into anything trying to appear that I'm the professional, because by no means. But I think sometimes when they say the message is in the mess, I definitely brought my share of mess into our first home and would kind of squirrel it away. And then some of that, especially the paper, I brought boxes and boxes of paper and knew that that was not the approach. But at the same time, I was like, oh, our house sold, we're in go mode. So I knew I needed to get to a lot of it at some point, but I also knew life was moving very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, 3 kids under the age of
four at one point.
Yes.
Four and under. Yeah. Yes. That's a lot. That's a lot of kids.
Yes. And I was breastfeeding for a year with each of them. So it was like very involved first year with their first year of life. And then I also just felt really consumed with, you know, by the time I was a homemaker, Pinterest first came on the scene, and I was like, I'm going to be on top of all of these things. And I would pin and pin and pin, but that's the ideation. You know, I love ideas. So I have a lot of pink pockets. But I was like, I need to actually put things in place, and I can't just keep organizing my clutter. So taking some of that pressure off, I really have valued. I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but I was just listening to a couple of your orientations to refresh myself. And recently you did an orientation for the Sunday basket. You were talking about 90% is good enough and then move on. And that was so freeing, because I've always felt like I need to have things at 100%. And if I can't, then I may as well not do it. Or, you know, I need to like undercommit because I don't want to disappoint anyone. So knowing that I can just keep moving along, and same thing with the home organizing, you had said like 60 to 80% done in one area is good, and you don't want it to be perfect because you're wasting too much time, like drilling down into that area.
Yeah.
Oh, so many good things.
Yeah. So after 7 years, you're still learning stuff.
Yeah.
Great. I still have a job.
I know. Well, and I loved when you announced that you're going to focus on it being a school and ongoing learning, because that means I just get to be a student for life with you.
I'm in on this program. Yeah. So before you started Organize 365, or in the last 7 years, I mean, I'm sure that you're not only following Organize 365. Like, what other things have you tried and have worked or have not worked for you?
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm also a maximizer, so that doesn't help with trying to declutter. But that also means then I want to try all the systems and all the things. And so, of course, I had like filing systems, and I had little accordion boxes to store things in and try to sort them. And I was just, again, sorting things that I didn't necessarily need. Not everything can be memorabilia, right? And then I tried a paid course. I tried some free challenges, the, you know, Facebook do this in 30 days type of thing. So I really feel like I tried a bunch. Oh, and then you won't even want to get me started on how many bins and baskets and organizers I bought, because that's like my love language. My mom like is like, do you want another organizer for your birthday? I'm like, you know, I do. So that's like the last two birthdays. She was like, I know this is something you'd want. Yes. But she also has been a big advocate for me to whittle down my memorabilia, because that's a lot of it was. I was a scrapbooker starting in seventh grade. And then you learn to like keep all the little scraps. And if you are literally being scrappy about it, then you're like, oh, this little memento can kind of be like a sticker that I don't have to pay for.
Yes.
So yeah, I was like, you know all about it.
Oh, yes, I do.
So much that you can keep. And in fact, my hot mess room is my craft room. And I tried to focus on it like during a session on focusing on your hot mess. And I was like, it's actually going to be a bigger project. So that is coming up for me. But now I feel, after so many of the other systems that I've put in place using your programs, products, services, now when I go to tackle that, I have a new lens in which I'm viewing things. I can't even like talk about surreal. I still pick up something and go trash. Wait, who am I? Amazing. So I'm always like more excited for my family to visit from out of state, because they're seeing the transformation, I think.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. Okay, so can we rabbit trail to the craft room for a minute?
Yeah.
So I obviously was a creative memories consultant. Yes. And I made like hundreds of albums. Like, we personally own like, I think 80 albums. It's insanity. Everything
in the collection, in your videos.
I love it.
Yeah.
And now I'm making Grayson's scrapbook. So he's 14 months. And I'm noticing I do this completely differently than I did when I was the mom. So I want to talk about doing it as the mom and as a stay-at-home mom, and then doing it as a grandma and a working person. Mm-hmm. So when I was doing my photo albums, it actually was my job. It was my job as a stay-at-home mom, but it also was my job. Like, I was getting paid to do creative memories albums. So I loved it and I kept up on it and I did all of it. And I would wait and I would get all of my, I did it non-digitally, like I did it with real pictures. And I would wait until you had the sales and you ordered the pictures and all of that. And I would do it every month. I didn't do jigsaw puzzles then because I was doing so much scrapbooking. Mm-hmm. But now with Grayson's album, so interesting. Like right around Christmas time, I had some time. So I uploaded all the photos from my phone to the Walgreens, picked them up an hour later. So I got the first like 4 months ordered. And I had Greg and Abby airdrop me their photos of Grayson so that I ordered them all at once. It was a couple hundred dollars for the photos. Then I just did this last week and I did all of the photos from Christmas all the way through his first birthday. Again, just uploaded them straight to Walgreens, went and picked them up. It was $250 worth of photos. I would have never spent all that money on photos when I was doing my kids' albums because I still can't even believe I spent that much on photos. Like it's a ridiculous amount. I don't even know if I'm using them all. Like I literally did them for my phone. I don't even know if I ordered the right photos, but I don't have time. Like I do not have time to make this album, but I know this album's important. I know Abby wants it. I want it for Grayson. So I'm going to get it done. I do have two slosh pockets in my Sunday basket that have like his first haircut, his little thing around his wrist for when he was born or his ankle around when he was born, like any, his little footprint when he was born, like all this stuff has been sitting in the Sunday basket for over a year waiting for me to make this album. And I feel like I'm going to get kicked out of the scrapbooking club because literally I want to get this album done in a month and then have this off my to-do list. And I'm like, am I maintaining this until he's 18? I'm like, no, I don't think so. Like, I think he's just going to have a baby album. I can't believe I'm saying this. Of course, I did get duplicates. I mean, of those photos, I got duplicates so I can have a copy of this baby album, of course. But as Greg and I are talking about things like talking about daycare, things like this, I believe not exactly, but what you do for one, you do for all. So I'm like, well, if I do an album for Grayson, I'm going to do this for subsequent grandchildren. And my passion now is growing Organized 365 and going back to school and getting my PhD. It's no longer being a stay-at-home mom and a scrapbooker. Like my identity has changed. I still love the fact that I'm going to make this scrapbook for Grayson, but it's not part of my everyday existence. So I am not going to be adding, well, who knows? When I do it, maybe I'll add some fun things, but I'll probably just go to Michael's. Yes, Michael's. Not Creative Memories. And I'm going to buy whatever stickers they're going to be added. That's a Creative Memories album. I've got a lot of stickers already. But yeah, I'll probably get it done in a couple of weeks. And then it's a project. So scrapbooking is now a project for me. It's no longer like part of my identity and my passion. And I think that I want to say that because your crafts in your craft room are going to change. But you spent so much money and time on that stuff. And like your kids are really little. So you're probably going to do whatever with Creative Memories, but I also want to give Creative Memories people like an out. Like it was a really big thing in the 90s and early 2000s. And like, as we're in 2022, 2023, 2024, like if you're over it, it's okay. You're allowed to be over it now.
Ah, that's so helpful to hear. Even, I mean, especially from you, you know?
Yes. That's why I wanted to say it.
Yes. I love that. You knew that that would hit because yeah, I do have that tendency. I'm sure you see it with people when they ask questions about Sunday basket and stuff. And they're like, do I need every last little thing to be a certain way? And I love that you've actually like informed your instructors, like let people know that the most value they're going to get is customizing it. And so, yeah, that's so helpful when you don't have to feel like it has to be all one way. Is really huge for a lot of us. And I don't consider myself type A, but I learned that all the way until I became an adult. I mean, I guess all the way until I became a mother, I was like, I learned to be type A, which really served me well in academics and work and school. But I guess, I mean, advanced academics, but I needed to be able to slowly start giving myself the permission to like use my creative side. And that's why I like doing my blog and I started doing videos and everything like that explores that other side. But when you're mentioning like the crafts and having kids, I got to say like, that was how I sort of married it was I said, okay, well, I'm going to do DIYs and I'm going to incorporate my kids and they love it. But then you can't have like our one creation station is what we called it with all of our supplies for the kids became like, now we have that one's just our main supplies. And now everybody has their individual cabinet of their supplies. And then mommy has a whole walk-in closet of additional. So that's not like great modeling for them either. So I'm trying to like teach them autonomy instead of just, I know we never want to swoop in and throw everyone's things away, but when they bring their artwork home, when I used to feel like I needed to keep every last little scrap, now I show it to them and I say, can you show me which ones of these you want to keep and which ones are you ready to recycle? And I feel like that autonomy like helps them better understand. We're not keeping it all and we're not tossing it all. And we don't, it doesn't have to be painful. It's a choice. And we have a contained amount that we're keeping. And so I feel really good about that because having not started that way, I can see the big difference with them and the way that they are. Not everything has to be your precious anymore, right? And yes. So they're learning that they can let go of things too. Never too late.
I love that for them. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And when you said that you have like their main craft area and then they each have their own and then you have a closet and you said, I know that's not the right organization. Why did you say, like, I think that's great organization.
Well, maybe it's too much, you know?
No, because it's your passion. Like yeah. It's your passion project. Remember, like the rule is that you want to get rid of as much of other stuff so that you have more space and time for your passion project. So like crafting and DIY is your passion and your kids seem to be following in your footsteps. So I think that's a really well-organized way to do it.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
I try to make it a commingled space. So our creation station is right next to our dining table where we do the crafts and then their individual cabinets. I'm gesturing here in my home office, but they're right here. So when they want to grab something, it's easy. Just kind of grab and go and bring it. And then the craft room. So maybe what you're making me feel like is if I make it more functional, because that's what I really need out of that space, then it can serve the purpose that I intended, which was I can use it kind of as my own workshop, my craft workshop, and they can have their space too. Cause I do have a designated like spot for them, dedicated spot. So I was going to say,
It sounds like the craft room is like your past crafts and they have like the whole room and nobody's using it. And then your current passions are like all over your house, but they're being used all the time. Like swap it out. Like even if you decided to get like a craft cabinet and put it where the current DIY kids area is and make that whole craft room, the kids like,
that's
true. My gosh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And then if you want a craft, you can always move it into that space.
True. Yeah. I love the portability because it gives you freedom, right? Like I'm thinking of those puzzle boards that you showed one time. I never knew there was such a thing where you could move your puzzle conveniently. And I was like that, you know, I try to apply that to other examples. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds kind of silly, but so much of the time we think like, I can only do this task in this room. And then when we give ourselves permission to do it a little bit differently, that is a question I have for you. Why do you think it is that people feel like they need permission? Like now that you told me this, now I can go and do.
I think because like you were talking about earlier, you know, the family that you grew up in and like how you picture your mom doing it and then how you imagine that you're doing it and you're kind of trying to match that. And then your spouse is doing the same thing too. And so you're matching it to what you see on TV and what you remember from childhood. And so then you're looking at like, well, I don't see anybody on TV that has a craft room and a room for DIY. Like houses on TV are for eating and for all these people talking all the time. Like on TV, let's just be clear. On TV, the families are all together hanging out, talking. This is not how real life is. You're all doing your own thing. Maybe you come together at dinner, but you don't like all casually come in and sit down to a full spread and then talk for an hour and a half. No, that's TV people. That is not real life. Like you ring the bell, people come, they leave, like there's a fire drill at the end. So they don't have to do the dishes like that. That's real life. And then you think about your childhood, but you only remember little bits and pieces of your childhood, not your whole childhood. And like, so your parents probably didn't have a DIY or a craft room either. And for sure your spouse's parents didn't. And then they come to your house. Like your parents and your spouse's parents come to your house and they're like, what are you doing? This isn't how houses are. Well, maybe they're all like this and we don't know. And why not? You spend so much time like with your kids in your house, working from, it should work for what phase of life that you're in. And I think once you start to realize that your house is there to serve you, you're not there to serve your house. And you're like, oh, well, how do I want this to function?
I love that. Well, I think it's definitely a reflection of each of us because we are big on creating. Even my husband likes to work with wood and he finished our basement and did a table in our front entry that we all love. Yeah. It's, yeah, again, that permission, but I'll try to give it to myself as well. I can give myself permission to make our house or allow our house to reflect us, even if it's our passion projects existing amongst us, because that's what we do. We do it all the time, all the time.
Yeah. So where does your husband do the woodworking?
So he's just doing projects like as they come up, you know, honeydews.
Yes.
But he's entrepreneurial minded as well. And so we talk sometimes about him starting something up like that, but yeah, he's got the equipment and everything. And so I think now that you're saying this, he would probably like me to commit on air to cleaning up our third stall garage so that he'd have space for that.
And how, I mean, like, can you imagine if like, let's say a couple months from now, you guys decide to do that over the winter break or whatever. And so you decide to take the craft room and everything in the craft room, you take a look at it and you're like, okay, am I going to use this in the next year? Like, do I have the passion to use this in the next year? You don't have to get rid of anything. Like you just bin it all up and put it somewhere else. And you're like, okay, maybe this. So we're going to have one craft cabinet and we're going to move everything in there. But then we're going to redo the craft room for the DIY room. So that is kind of your job now. Mm-hmm. And also we're going to clean up the third stall so that you have that for your husband as well. And the kids already have their area that is working for them. Like, oh my goodness, how fun would that be? And what if you started to create a tradition that every year at the end of the year, you were to look at how you're using the house and how do we want to use it next year? And how do we want to reorganize the space that we have for us?
Yes.
How fun would that be?
Yeah. Yes. And even just when you were saying us having those two separate spaces like that, our kids love to ping back and forth between the projects that we're doing and help tinker alongside of us and stuff. So yeah, that's so fun. Oh, yeah. I love this.
And it'll keep the mess out of other areas of your house too.
Yeah.
It'll actually be easier to maintain.
Yes. Oh, you're so right. I feel like when you say mess, because I'm just definitely like stream of consciousness here, but when you say mess and I'm talking about the kids and pinging around, they're definitely still in that younger stage where they're not all off in their own rooms and doing things, mm-hmm. which is great because we want, you know, that nucleus really close as much as we can before they feel like they're too independent. But I did feel like I wanted to be able to share for anyone else that might have had any struggle with postpartum depression. There was, after I had my third child, there was this time where the mess was too much for me. And yet I was still pressuring myself to have the Pinterest perfect nursery so that I could do a video and all that stuff. And to be able to do the cute progress pics of the kids. So they're 1 month, they're 2 month, they're 3 month, and just nailing that down. But putting so much pressure on myself to do it perfect meant that I felt like I couldn't really do it at all, like I said before. And so I've slowly started giving myself permission to do what I'm calling experiments and imperfections. So that's kind of what I'm kind of my catchphrase for my platform that I'm building. But I did want to say that because, my third child, she's a girl. She was going to be our last child was our plan. And I just wanted to get it right. But once I was able to just, I guess, come to better terms with, I can't just stop. I can't stop managing the field trip papers coming in for my elementary students or, you know, elementary school kids and just letting everything pile up. I still want to go on the field trips. I still want to be an active part of that, but I can't let my home, all the decisions wait. And then the pandemic hit. And then it was like, well, nobody's coming over. And this is too much isolation. And, you know, again, my papers piled up. Papers have always been a thing for me, a big weakness. And But I learned that there's such a thing as postpartum anxiety. I didn't even know about that. So the anxiety, because of the hormones, because I was still breastfeeding and everything, the anxiety led to the depression, according to the experts. So having both really high anxiety and bad depression, I needed to be able to work my way out of that. And a lot of it was that forgiveness. But I will say, then we get through the pandemic and I start doing the Productive Home Solution and Sunday Basket and then the Friday Workbox. Oh, I cannot tell you. It's like night and day from that dark, dark hole that I was in that I didn't want to experience for my kids or my family. And so I just really want others to know that, like, you can, you will climb out of it. Or if you've been there, know that you can get so much further.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I got so many chills while you were just talking just then. And I want to go on the record as saying, I thought about doing those pictures with Grayson like each month, and I should have, because he's 14 months old and he's in size 2T clothes and he's 30 pounds. Like, the kid is a giant baby. He's a giant. It would have been the most amazing photos had I done it. I didn't even do month one. But I did all of that stuff with my kids when they were little. So if you take anything from me from this podcast, like, I'm not doing all of this that I did with my kids with Grayson, because it's not how I'm choosing to use my time right now. And I'm still a great grandma, and you're still an awesome mom to your third child. If you didn't do with them what you did with the first two, like, we put so much ridiculous pressure on ourselves and we just extend our to-do list longer and longer and longer. And nobody's checking it. Like, nobody's checking this to-do list.
Yeah. When you talk about the invisible work, which I loved being able to have that phrase, because sometimes we just need a concept to be able to explain what we're thinking. And as moms, taking care of the home is a large responsibility just for anyone, right? And my husband, I have to say, like, he does, I want to say most of the cooking, but that's an understatement. He does almost all of the cooking. He is very diligent about cleaning and has always been a tidy person. So I'm so fortunate with that. But he had a lot of patience with me over the years at different times. But I think, I don't know, the invisible work is still there and they don't always see it. The spouse, the kids especially, right? They'll have to have their own homes before they recognize. But for me, being able to take that long, never-ending to-do list. And as you say, the to-do list kind of goes away when you have the Sunday basket, because I'm externalizing my brain. I'm dropping everything in there. And then those thoughts are not racing in my mind. Like, I can actually sleep better. and I don't wake up running through a to-do list, because I know that I have it in my Sunday basket. And also the fact that the Sunday basket gives you permission to A, wait till Sunday, but then examine it on Sunday and decide what can still wait. It's like, I can have, I'm sorry, I'm just quoting you back to yourself, but land neglect, as you say,
yes,
is a great phrase that's so helpful. And it doesn't have to change my sense of identity. I can still be an organized person and I can choose that something is going to wait. I love that. So yeah, you give people freedom in so many ways. I just need you to know extra ways.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So tell us, how did you start the Sunday basket? What was that process of starting it? When did you have the first success? And when did you finally know it was working for you specifically just with the Sunday basket?
Yeah. I initially did listen to your podcast where you were outlining what the colors were and how somebody could do it themselves. And by the way, as a business owner, I just commend you for letting people know that they can set it up themselves if they want to. They don't have to buy the product, because I think that's like such a sense of agency that someone can see if it's something they might even be able to stick to. And even if they feel like there's something with this, that's what it was for me. There is something to this. And yet there's a tangibility component that I'm missing. I needed to have it. And once I had it, and then I was in the Sunday Basket Club, that made all the difference. So I actually, Lisa, I knew I was going to come on here and just quote you. But I mean, it's like I have memorized so much of this. But you said that by the time people buy into the ecosystem that you've developed, it's like a done deal. The decision has been made long before they make the purchase in a lot of cases because they've done the research. So yes, I bought in early on and I tried to do everything I could. And then it was only in March of this year that I ordered the Sunday basket. And
wow. Wait, yeah, what?
I know it. It's a low investment. And I just was like, well, Ashley, you haven't been able to make any of these other systems work. Just keep buying bins, shuffling your papers. So I thought, what if it's just one more thing, honestly, that I would let myself down and have in my home, which at least it folds compactly if somebody is not ready for it right then. But also, there's never a good time, right? But I was waiting until my kids were on spring break so that I could do my deep dive and just really entrench myself in it. So when I, of course, got them involved in a craft project that they could do alongside me and I had my earbuds in, then I just soaked it all up and listened to replays. And definitely, I feel what people say when they get started and they're like, well, I don't see how this is going to save me time. And you just don't see it. But like you said, by like week six, you're seeing that time savings. By week five, I was already feeling so much more on top of things. I was starting to see that I could be the person that I always saw myself as. And for me, like for those that study the four tendencies, I'm a rebel. And so that means that I unfortunately resist outer and inner expectations. But one thing that helps rebels actually follow through with something for themselves or for others, is the sense of identity, like what you want to reflect. And my friends, believe it or not, even a friend that just texted me, a neighbor, they asked me to come and organize their homes. And they've seen that I spend like most of my free time organizing my home for all these years, you know, but I've spent too much time. It was my hobby. So now I am freed up. I'm not spending hours and hours a week organizing because I love organizing. I'm actually utilizing my time. And the funny thing is, I love organizing so much that I still like to talk about it. So I have a YouTube channel and I do DIY and organizing for the home. And it's just like this lovely marriage of both. So yeah. And my kids jump in there too.
Okay. I want to unpack this.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that you listened to the podcast for 6 years before you bought a Sunday basket. And you are quoting me back to me better than I even remember what I've said myself. I want to see if what I'm thinking in my head is true for you. Number one, do you think you spent more than the value of the Sunday basket on all of the other things that you bought in that 6 years?
Oh my goodness. Oh, yes. I didn't just dive in with the Sunday basket. I got the Productive Home Solution.
Okay, so you went all in.
Instantly, I was like, I need the Friday workbox. So I could have saved myself so much time and money, but did I get my money back? Oh, yeah, right away. Because I can see the savings even before I've gotten to it. Being able to use the paper solution binders, I still need to sit down and fill out some of the printables, but I have that reassurance that if there's anything that I need, I know that I've already slipped all of my papers and all of my important documents in there. So now it's just going through. But again, you give us permission to be able to do that on a cyclical basis. You don't have to sit down and invest 10 hours to fill out worksheets, you know, but I could tell anybody that came into my home, or if I was in an emergency and needed to call my neighbor and have them come over, I could tell them exactly where to get the important things, the important documents. I never say enough, I swear.
Okay, yeah, so I'm going back to the 6 years where you bought nothing. Okay, because this is like almost everybody listening to the podcast. And this is why I don't know this to be true because I haven't like done a survey, but this is what I think. So you obviously were spending a lot of time and money on organizing for 6 years, but not buying the Organize 365 products. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and I just wonder what you're going to say. So was it because, okay, so I'm going to ask three different questions. Number one, was it because you didn't have the money for the products at that time? So there wasn't freed up money for that. So it was a financial decision?
No, because I could have, so for $97, I could have bought several clear bins for the same exact amount, but I would know that I was going to use those bins, that I was going to throw those away. And I already knew how to use them. There's no barrier to entry.
Okay. Okay. So that's what I was thinking. Okay. So you were, even though the containers didn't really work, at least you knew how to use containers.
Yeah.
And if you're buying containers, like your mom knows how to buy you containers. But if you said, mom, buy me a Sunday basket, she'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I think part of it is we keep buying what we've seen looks like other people on Pinterest have had success, even though we don't know if they've had success or not. At least this was everybody else is buying. So it makes better sense to spend our money the way other people are spending their money, even if nobody's getting the transformation.
Well, and what if you were going to have me throw away most of my contents that I don't need? I didn't think I was ready for that, but now I am. But you know what?
Okay.
If I would have started then, maybe I would have realized sooner that I was ready.
So I think the other thing, and I don't even know how to articulate it, but I think you're somebody who would tell me if I'm right or not. I wonder if because I am so vocal about taking the ownership of your organization on, like 87% of Americans believe organization is a learnable skill. Yet only 13 to 18% of the same people surveyed feel like they have that skill. And we have thousands of people now that have gone through that survey and the statistics still stand. I wonder if it is the fact that you guys know the organized 365 systems work, but you're still afraid they won't work for you.
Yes. Yeah. What if it worked for so many other people and they, quote, got it right, this whole perfectionism thing. And if it didn't work for me, then I would learn that I'm a failure. And what was I going to do? Stop listening to your podcast and stop consuming your knowledge? No. So I needed to not be a failure.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that people don't make the decision sooner. Yeah. And I don't think it's a financial decision. I think it is the, yeah, well, if I keep playing on the sidelines and I keep getting a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, then I'm never going to really find out if I'm one of those people that just can't learn organization. And here's what I want to tell you. It is impossible not to learn to get organized. It's 100% possible not to become Pinterest organized. That's a foregone conclusion. Like you should not even try that. But it is impossible not to learn the skill of organizing.
As long as you start, right?
As long as you say, well, even, I mean, you were doing it before you even bought the products.
But let's say somebody never organized, then they would never learn the skill.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, you know, we're holding ourselves back. I know I do it too. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to buy that thing because you said the identity, because then once I buy a Sunday basket, then I'm a person, the Sunday baskets.
Yes. Yes.
And then I need to maintain that because I'm a Sunday basket person. I don't want to let myself down. Exactly. And I do think it's more the identity and the belief in yourself than it is that the system works, because the system works.
That's true. Which I think would be a hard bridge for you to gap, building people's sense of self-confidence going into it. But I do see when people say, when business owners say that you have to put some skin in the game. So the like holiday blitz, love it. I love the blitzes. But since it is free, then I'm sure you see like less completion numbers. I forget what to say, but you get incompletes. And so people are like, I'll fit it into the fringe hours if they're new, you know, getting started, and they don't make it a priority. But if they bought that same program, they would not want to miss their chance, like planning day. If they can't listen to it live, you bet your bottom dollar they're going to listen to the replay because they paid for it and they want to get their value. So yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I love that as a freemium for everyone. That's huge. So
I think that I don't know how to, I can't come out and say like, you can do it, but you can. Actually, you can say it. And I think it is true. I think a lot of people who finally come on to the Wednesday podcast and share their story, you know, everybody's like, oh, I wish it would have started sooner. I don't think that's necessarily like, there's no shaming in this. Like you should have done this sooner. Like, why'd you buy another container? Like, I'm not going to say that. But I think it's that I have always had this problem as a teacher, as everything. Like I believe more in what you are capable of sometimes than you believe in yourself.
Yes.
It was written on my evaluations as a teacher. Like when I was in public school, they're like, you have unrealistic expectation for yourself and your students. I'm like, well, good. like, what do you want? Teachers to have realistic and low expectations for themselves and their students? Like, so it sounds like I'm doing the right thing. They're like, no, you're not. I'm like, I don't understand how you people grade. Like, why wouldn't we try to be our best? Why wouldn't we shoot for the moon and land in the stars? Like I love that. And so I know that everyone can learn the skill of organizing. Now, not everyone can learn it as fast. And when it's done, it's not always going to look the same, but you can learn to be organized.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think if more people would share in the community, so just focusing on the holiday blitz, if people were to say, this was my success and just put it out there, then they start getting that sense of community. And community is so huge for so many people, yeah. Especially those that need accountability and are, in like externally motivated, right? Yeah. But if they don't share their success, then they might not see their success. Have you ever noticed that? Like processing aloud can make you realize things.
Hello, you're listening to me processing aloud.
I know.
It's the whole podcast. That's the entire podcast.
I love that podcast. It's so fun. But I think if there's some way to externalize it, maybe they turn in a worksheet for a drawing or something like that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But
there's always room for improvement at the Organized 365 school. It's always going to be changing and evolving. So
who knows? I love that. Like every once in a while, I feel like you're like, sorry, but I'm going to change things because I like to, spice things up. And I'm like, I love that. I love that. We need that because why would we want to instill our belief in someone who is entrenched in one way of doing things? I really enjoyed like seeing the evolution. So,
And you've seen it. You've been here since like before there was a Sunday basket. That's how long you've been here since before there was. So speaking of Sunday basket, all the other things, do you have a workbox story to share?
Yes. So I was doing several volunteer positions and then I have two, I'm calling them opportunities to earn income, which now this is where I'm putting my 5 extra hours I've gained and then some. Into working on my YouTube content. And I have a website of local things for kids and families to do. So it's kind of like having 5 jobs. I'm telling myself because of the weight that I put on them, that it's kind of my job. And yet can anybody do like have 5 different LLCs or something and manage them well? No, especially if you're a solopreneur. So I really wanted to be able to have some sort of way to compartmentalize it and sort it. And I could pick certain days to work on certain things, time block, etc., all the good things. But still for somebody who is visual and has had a history of just saving all of the things, like when you're looking for local things for kids to do, every flyer everywhere is a great idea, but it's not all urgent. So that could stack up really quickly. And so I was really eager to get the Business Friday workbox because I could see, first off, having visualized the process all along. And then once I started the Sunday basket, I definitely knew how I was going to organize my 1.0 and my 2.0. And then I was so pleased that you keep encouraging us. Don't have too many pinks because our entire goal is to move them to the purple and the green. So focusing on a lot more of that now.
So you said that your daughter's going to be 5 soon. Mm-hmm. So she's probably not in all day school yet.
Correct. Yeah. I have to go to her in a little while.
Will she go to all day school next year or the year after?
Yep. In August. So,
this is so beautiful. So you are leaving the, remember when your kids are under 5, you just take a nap. You're almost out of that phase. It completely makes sense to me that you have a Friday workbox that has 5 different businesses in it because you are in this really fertile, and it's like 9 months for you. You're like in this really fertile 9 months of like, what do you want your new identity to be once all your kids are in school and you have this time? And so just press into that, like, as your energy, like which one you'll get it down to 3 and you might only be down to 3 when she goes to all day school. And then you'll slowly get down to just 1 will start to really take off. It'll probably take about 18 months. This is completely normal. You're completely normal.
Well, and that probably, it does better conceptualize why now. for all of the products, because I'm getting close to that stage where I have all of them in school. And even my husband said, you know, why now? And I said, I don't want to, it's about that preparation. I don't want to run up until August of 2023 and then be like, oh my, I have to start from scratch, you know?
Yeah. You're literally re-nesting for the next phase. This is so cool. This is so cool. All right. Well, we have to end up. What do you have more of now?
Definitely time. I knew I was going to say that, but I mean, I can't not say that. I also wrote down a couple of things because I was like, I knew I wanted to say more. More mental bandwidth. See, I had to write it down so that I had the bandwidth.
Amen. That is like, we should just stop right there. Capacity. Like, how do you explain capacity?
Right. Yes. And it being a person with multiple passion projects, you can't keep it all up there. So Right. Yeah, you're right. That is a good ending point, because being obsessed with organizing and learning and growth, I need to be able to have a place where I can reference it, but I do not need to keep it upstairs.
Yeah. So that you can follow whatever the passion is and then fully immerse yourself into that passion forever long, and then pop back up and be like, oh yeah, I still can get all these things going.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wish you knew sooner, or any advice you would want to give to somebody who's just starting out?
Well, something that comes to mind right now is I thought that if I could get my entire house organized in one fell swoop, that concept where people are like, just take everybody out of the house for a week or something, they'll come back to a completely different space and it'll stay that way forever. No, but I thought, I'm just going to do this and do this and do this and keep trying to whittle my way down, as I'm saying, through the decluttering, through the organizing. And then I can be a more present mom. And then I will have more time with my spouse. But the truth was, I didn't have the right approach. And so I guess my message is, you might think that you're saving future time, but you could save time now by getting it done. Wow. And now I just archive away my snow day ideas to do with the kids so that I know exactly where they are. But before I was like, if I just keep it all, I'll have it all. No, I couldn't do it that way. So I needed to declutter, organize, and now I can be productive and better use my time with my family. And you can.
Oh my goodness. Ashley, this has been such a great conversation. I'm so excited to hear, like, a year or two from now, like, how all this, when you go into this next phase of life, how that really, really, all this learning that you have taken in the last 7 years is going to become this new thing. And you're in the process of doing that. That is so fun. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for making me even see better that I've really blossomed through this culmination of information. So delightful. I love this. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Ashley.